אז אנחנו נלמד אגדה של הלקוסם.
We're going to learn an a legend about a wizard or a magician. It was published in the newspapers and it is recommended as a gift. How much it costs? 30? It's a new edition. Here is the magician illustrations here are not so similar to me. And the first time it was really, it looked like my face. I wrote it at night. Yeah. It was 1 a.m. I felt something and I wrote it. It was seven or eight years ago, I think. 9 or 10. Yeah. I had the idea at the beginning, but afterwards they told me to change it. Yoni, can you lower the volume? So they told me to add a few things afterwards. No, I didn't finish it at sunrise. At the beginning I wrote just one page and then they told me to add some. So in the second night I wrote some more and later, you know, usually I wake up an hour before the morning lesson to be a little bit by myself, to write something, to engage in something. And I needed to convey something to the group. And I didn't know by which allegory, by which form, and then it happened in this way. Started speaking about the whole process. We were learning that time the end of the preface to the book of Talmud of Ten Sefirot. And we learned about an allegory of how to climb a mountain. It's an allegory about one that attains spirituality. And then it brought me to writing this kind of allegory. Usually I'm very far from these things. I have a very dry intellect. Yes, lady. You're supposed to tell us where we read. We're reading in the book Kabbalah for Beginners, page 47. Oh, I'm finally starting to hear the man talking. Okay, so we're in item 29, 46. Oh, okay, 26.
Tov.
Okay. So you don't have any questions about last lessons, right? What we studied already. Something that seemed to you perplexing. You're saying that Creator is nature. I'm not saying that Creator is nature. It's written so that the Creator is nature. You can. He doesn't have any emotion, any mind, nothing. It's a law. And he gives love. We need to feel it. So actually what I'm asking is, why does he bother? Wait a minute, you asked something about him. I'm asking in general. Why does he have to bother it if it doesn't matter to him? If the Creator is nature, so you don't have a question. But if you... No, nature and Creator is the same thing. It doesn't degrade him when I say that the Creator is nature. When the Kabbalists say that the Creator is nature, they want to emphasize that we are working in a system of laws that is total, whole, complete, comprehensive, unvariable, and you shouldn't wait for the laws to change. That's what they want to distinguish here. It's nature. It's like if I throw a glass, I can pray an hour before and it doesn't matter a thing. If I drop the glass, it'll break. And it's included in the laws. And the same thing with the Creator. They want to show you that you're operating in a system of laws and you have no choice if you want to... If you want to be arranged with the laws, you just have to understand that you are the sensitive element, and the lack of implementing the laws awakens the sufferer within you. So if you're a bit smart, you're starting to get this idea, and you're telling yourself, it's worthwhile for me to get along with the laws of nature. And when you start to study this system of laws, can you let the people let them inside?
אז מזה שאני מתחיל להכיר אותו, זאת אומרת אני רוצה להכיר אותו כי אני חייב להסתדר, הסבל, האיסורים מחייבים אותי, אז אני מתחיל ללמוד את המערכת הזאת, את החוק הזה שפועל עליי, שמחייב אותי, ויוצא שלאט לאט אני מתחיל להזמין הכוח הזה, החוק הזה שישפיע אליי יותר ויותר עמוק למודעות שלי, להרגשה שלי, יחד כך שאני מתחיל להבין אותו. למה הוא עושה לי ככה? מה פתאום שהוא מסדר אותי ומסובב אותי ומשחק איתי ככה מכל הצדדים? ומההכרה הפנימית ממש חושית בחוק הזה אני מתחיל להעריך אותו, להרגיש שהוא פועל ממש ומנווט אותי לאיזו מטרה. וכך עוד ועוד אני ממשיך עד שאני מתקרב עליו ומתחיל להעריך אותו אפילו לא כלפיי איך שהוא פועל, אלא הגדלות שלו בפני עצמו. זה דרגות ההתקרבות, ההרגשה, ההשגה בכוח הזה שפועל עליי. ולא ש... כבר אני בורח מייסורים ולכן אני חייב להתקרב עליו כמו ילד קטן, אלא אני כבר מתחיל להכיר גדלות, הערכה בו, אפילו
the greatness, the appreciation of it, even though it's detached from my sensation, Even if I will feel bad, I just want to get closer to Him. This appreciation works upon me in such a way that it's like in life. We suffer, but I'm ready to suffer in order to attain Him. And thus we elevate on top of our preliminary nature and come closer to the Creator. We acquire a second nature that is above our own. And here there is a way that is not so simple, because the Creator that wants us to come closer to Him is like a mother that is teaching her baby to walk. He moves away from us each time and gives us more failures and more problems. And that's the good way. I'll tell you why. Because He doesn't want you to be cleaved to Him like a baby with his mother. He wants you to go forward to Him when He moves away from you and brings you more dilemmas and problems. And by this you will grow up. He doesn't want you to be a baby. He wants you to be exactly like Him. So He starts to increase anti-qualities within you, and on top of them, you overcome until you reach such a great mountain of failures and problems, and you transcend them. And by this you become like Him. That's the way. This way is a way of concealment that works upon you in an opposite way. And through this concealment, you truly grow. You start to sense Him and feel Him and be like Him a bit. And there is a system that works here, like systems of the opposite laws of nature of the Creator, which is called the worlds of impurity, corresponding to the worlds of holiness. But all of that is in order to make you grow up and be closer to Him. And that's all the wisdom. There's no more than this. How to receive the revelation of the Creator. That's all the wisdom of Kabbalah. Also, according to the definition that Baal HaSulam gives us in the article, the essence of religion and its goal. And the article, the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah. For me, all of that is like one big article, so I don't remember the exact references. But if you want to know where is it, they'll tell you. My students know better than me where everything is found. For me, it's all mixed. That's it. So these are all the questions. Don't be afraid to ask nonsense. That's okay. Let's say that one grew up in a home with a good education and a home where there are no economical problems, and no, this has no connection to what happens in spiritual, in corporality. I saw people who have all the good, and all their wealth is not worthwhile for them. It doesn't worth anything. Of course, they have to go through some different level, but it's not. It depends upon the involvement of the person. And I saw people who live in poverty that not even like in Israel. For example, I have students in Mexico and Chile, and they live in a hole. And they have this internal point. They feel the truth from inside. And it's not that they look at you and don't perceive anything, and they have some blind faith. They have this strong point, and they open up. This thing depends only upon the point in the heart. So whoever has it, and whoever doesn't.
כן.
Okay, I have a pretty similar question to what the other guy here asked, but okay, I'll ask it. Is a person that is found in faith with to the Creator, he believes in the Creator and he understands that everything comes from the Creator. Maybe you should speak a bit louder, we don't hear you. Stand up maybe. Is a person that believes in the Creator and understands that everything comes from Him and there are no miracles, no forces of himself even, and that man suffers. He has problems, diseases, problems with his family. Does the wisdom of Kabbalah have a cure for him? And is there a way for him to turn to the Creator? Or will the Creator hear him, listen to him? Will the Creator care about this? One who does not understand the reality in which he is thinks that if he will pray, the Creator will listen. That's a normal man on the street, and this is how we are created. We are used to these things. When babies yell to their mother, the mother listens to them finally because she's merciful and she has affection for them and she treats them. Or there's even a different law. Let's say your wife is starting to cry and you start to give up. They know how to play with us, right? We are used to see all kinds of cases in our life when there is some kind of meeting between sensation on the one hand and request on the other hand. And does this work with the Creator? First of all, we don't see this thing work anywhere. There are no miracles, there is no mercy. There are no human relationships. When I turn to the Creator and I'm asking for good, it is as if I'm turning to the hand that bit me. It's like if I would see that he beats me, so I would think twice, do I have someone to turn to or not? So we need to understand that if I am sick, if I feel bad, whatever it happens, suffering, let's call it suffering. So it's written in the Gemara that if I want to take out 10 pennies from my pocket and I put my hand inside my pocket and I take out 20 pennies, meaning the slightest thing that is not according to my desire is called suffering. Even if it's a small thing, there's one that can get upset from it and it corrupts his mood, and there are people who are not so upset from it, but anyway, it's not according to the desire, and therefore it's called suffering. And of course, there are greater suffering. For example, I want to feel good, I want to be famous, I want to be rich, I want to be in control, and whatever. And if all that I have is not according to my desire, I call it torment. If you will measure demands of one who suffers, and you will show other people things that he has, and let's say that for them it can be to be rich, it can be great for them. So each one has his own measure. So the Creator brings us suffering, and it's not in order that we will ask him to free us from suffering. In our world, we would also not respect this kind of relationship between people. It's one that wants to force the other, control the other. It's not a nice relation. All of his relation to us that brings us suffering is in order to help us transcend the sensation of suffering, that I will turn to Him to bring me closer to Him even though I suffer. Meaning He operates in order to elevate me, to wake me, not to feel suffering, to something that is totally else. He wants me to transcend, to come closer to Him, and therefore we just don't understand Him. Baal Shem writes that in the preface to Tess, that the reason for all the evil in our world is that we don't understand His relation to us. We as if want to speak to Him in the same channel. He gives me torments and I ask Him to nullify it. We see that tens of years it doesn't work. Not only with Jews, with all of the world, it doesn't work, because the suffering that He activates upon us is in order that we will transcend them and we will ask to be closer to Him on top of the suffering, and then we don't see the suffering as suffering. Vice versa, we see them as invitation to transcend. And if you ask for transcendency, right away you get it. That's the right relation. All the goal is to understand His providence. And the same thing is what we do with kids, with children. We give them all kinds of exercises, problems, and the kid doesn't come to us and says, I don't want to play with that, it's too hard for me, I don't want this exercise, because on behalf of nature, he has a desire to grow up. Therefore, he tries to ascend each time and to solve the problems. But it's natural for him, it brings him pleasure. For us, in spiritual levels, it works against nature. But it's the same principle. So, if I may ask another question. There are verses in the Torah like they shall yell to the Creator, or cry to the Creator, and the Creator will hear them. All the cries of Israel in the Bible is to transcend. It's not release me from my problems, stop beating me, because by this you're telling him that it's not okay. When we start to ascend, we start to see that the beatings does not come from Him. We start to see that the beatings are a sensation of the gap, the distance between you and Him. And He gets distant, more distance from you, and this is why you feel the beating. This is in a bit higher spiritual level. You start to see that actually His love, in the opposite way, invites the sensation of suffering within you in order to push you towards Him and help you connect to Him. It's written that there are 40 days of suffering in the verses, because the Creator hears every mouth. So when you suffer, it's like a kid that receives a small beating from his father. And he knows then how to avoid other things, right? We don't see such things in our life. We want it to be so. But the verse that says, the Creator hears every mouth, it's like everyone who will yell something. When one will yell something, the Creator will hear him. And it's not like this. And the other verse that says, let there be a desire, it means that the one should change his own desire with respect to the Creator. We ascribe all of our qualities and our attributes to the Creator, but he's not a human being. The Torah spoke in language of human beings, and therefore it sounds to us this way. To think that the Creator listens to every mouth, like you say, is a mistake. Because our mouth is egoistical. We want, like the lady says here, I want to be rich, I want money, some other guy wants respect, and some other guy wants knowledge, and etc. We want egoistical pleasures, and the Creator will never hear us this way. And therefore, even if you want to be healthy, when you turn to Him, you're doing some kind of internal thing within yourself, and it seems to you that it's better now. You give some charity, you pray to the Creator, and that's it. So someone else in the world takes a pill and feels good by this. The Creator does not intervene here. The Creator hears only one thing, that you want to get closer to the attribute of love, to the quality of love. That's it. That is why He brings you down from the world of infinity through the five worlds to this world, and then He listens when you want to come back. So all of this godliness system hears only your deficiency to ascend. If you have such a deficiency, you are answered. What does it mean that you are answered? No one actually answers you. There are no ears up there. Rather, the system is built in such a way that for this deficiency, it has the light that reforms. If you do not direct your deficiency exactly to the light that is there, so you don't perceive it, you don't get it, and you stay in your own place, and because your ego increases all the time, the suffering increases. Like you said, that not every prayer can be listened, can be accepted. So, I understand the common people arranged for themselves all kinds of things. And when we left the period of the temple, we came out of the attribute of bestowal to our ego, so we fix ourselves all kinds of so-called systems and so-called prayers that give us some kind of internal supply, psychological fulfillment. It's much easier for us this way. We give some charity, we respect someone in this world, we help someone, we help some people, but it's very strong, this thing. It helps people. I know, I engaged in it in my life. One who believes that someone is now helping him, this force operates truly, and it can neutralize diseases even and give him internal feelings, and he overcomes by this. But he ascribes it to the upper force. And once again, the upper force brings you help only for the request, the demand to transcend ego, to transcend matter. No more than this. You're saying that the Creator is good and does good. So is it His definition or it's one of His attributes? Good and does good is not one of the attributes of the Creator. Rather, that is His nature. With respect to us, with respect to the state that He wants to bring us to, we discover Him as good and does good. But how do we know? We don't know anything. It's like the sages came and told, because there are people who discovered it and they tell me about it. In my life, my regular life, I don't reveal any force that is good and does good. I have an urge to discover the purpose of my life and why do I live for. And then I turn to books and to people that I think they have, that they are correct. I check them. And all of that is according to the point in the heart that brings me to some place where I think it is the answer. And then I hear what they tell me, and a bit by a bit, according to their method, I discover. If I don't discover that it's all that he's good and does good, I can say that he's evil and does only evil. This is how I discover it in my life, so let's be honest. What's the problem? You're talking about he himself. Once again, I'm telling you, he himself is a law of nature, a law of bestowal. In my vessels, you're saying that when I sketch, it's more understood. So one who attains the Creator, when he rises through all the degrees of the world, starting from our world, he says that the Creator is good and does good. That's it. The man who reached this peak, this is how he feels him, by his soul. He went through all the 125 degrees. One who doesn't feel it and is found in this world, he doesn't know anything. He's just listening to what happens there above. It's good and does good. And what do I feel here? Everything is bad, and he is evil and he does evil. That's all. One should determine clearly what does he have in his world. And our problem is that throughout exile, we developed a whole system for ourselves that lies to us. We pray, we do some things, and by this we, as if are more calm, as if we're in a better state. So the truth is that throughout exile, when we fell from this state downward, that was the time of the destruction of the temple. So until the time of the Ari, it's something like 1500 years. This is the period where we were in exile. So that was correct for that time. The man developed such a system that is called religion. And now, from the time of the Ari, and further, we need to start to ascend. Not all at once, not everyone altogether, only those who have the point in the heart. So we need to relate to this state not like it's exile, that we should do physical actions and no more. Rather, the point of the heart that awakens makes us start to relate to it, treat it, and it is the beginning of the soul. And there we have a different Torah. Not just to perform what's written, but to start and build the right relation with the upper force. And that is already the wisdom of Kabbalah that speaks about it. The usual religion doesn't provide this. It doesn't contradict one another, but one who starts to engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and all of his soul is here, and he sees that here he sees himself as advancing, vivid, alive, and it makes him be a bit less in the process of regular Judaism. And it seems that he weakens, etc., but actually he enters the true Judaism. I have three questions. Or you want to learn instead of his questions. What do you say, guys? Okay, it's okay. Does Kabbalah have any opinion about being vegetarian? No, no opinion. Whatever is good for your beast, give it. There's nothing like that. We're talking about the correction of the soul, not the correction of the body. You need to give the body whatever is good to it. What's good to it is actually what the body demands naturally. The problem is that for the words natural, we put all kinds of things we want. The man is created in such a way that he must eat everything that comes from nature. And there are all kinds of limitations of kosher, because it's corresponding to the root and branch from the spiritual world. But actually, he's supposed to eat everything in nature. And being vegetarian has no justification. There are people who like to eat more of this and more of that, and other people who eat different. But it has no justification, actually. And all kinds of New Age theories will pass. And everyone starts to do these things like meditations and yoga and many things. People think that it's something, I don't know, 10 or 20 years ago, people thought that this is spirituality. One who engages in spirituality must be naturalist, vegetarianist. How could it be that he thinks about animals this way? No. It has no connection. It's irrelevant. All the animals and everything that is that here is in the world is nature. And according to nature, we are animals as well. And one has to eat the vegetative and the animate and even the still. We eat salt and water, for example. So it has no connection to the soul. We are testing the body. We see what the body needs, and that's it. And there are many problems. If you open up this subject, there are a lot of problems that wake up, that arise because of naturalism or vegetarianism. Our body cannot have all the proteins it needs because of these systems. Okay, so now we are finally at the item 26. So what did we speak about here? We talked about desires, that all the excessive desires within us are in order that we will overcome them and cleave to the system of holiness. So, item 26, we've talked about the first state. You remember? This is called the first state. That is infinity, that is above, on behalf of the Creator. The second state is when we are in the system of corruption and correction. The second state pertains especially to correction, where the free choice starts from. And later we come to the third state, which is the end of correction, which is also infinity, but when we attain this state by ourselves, and in it we are equal to the Creator. Each one of us acquires the level of the Creator, which is eternal and whole. So he says, the A state, the first state, is a result of is a cause for the third state. And it's actually the same state. The first state and the third state are the same. Rather, we came out of this state because we have concealments, which are the worlds. And by correcting ourselves, we transcend all the concealment, and we come back to the state that we were in before, actually. But we actually come to it by correcting ourselves. And therefore, we actually acquire the state, and it's in our control then. And by correcting ourselves occurs the revival of the dead. The revival of the dead. It means the excessive will to receive that is discovered in this phase a bit by bit, when it's corrupted and disappears in the second state of reality, when we correct our desire, we have Galgalta Anaim, we perform the first restriction upon ourselves, we don't want to use this desire, we acquire a relation of being on top of it, meaning we erase it as if from ourselves. It is called that we kill it, that it's dead for us. And when we constructed all the vessels of bestowal, then we revive afterwards that will to receive, which is called the period of the revival of the dead. We wake them up once again, and precisely by these desires we receive all the pleasure we can. So this worse will to receive in its bad form, it must be revived in all of the extent, meaning with all the flaws that it had. And then the work begins once again with the same will to receive. Like before, we rejected it, we didn't want it, we wanted to transcend it with bestowal in love. Now we have it back, but it's in order to reverse this excessive desire, in order that it will be for the sake of bestowal. And then we gain double by this revival, by coming back to the same ego, because we have a place to receive all the delight and good that comes from the Creator, because we have fulfillment from the great ego, but it's already not ego, because we have the excessive force of the desire to receive that is in keeping with the pleasure. And because our reception in this manner will not be other than for the sake of the soul, meaning when I get the... Okay, let's explain it from the beginning. Here we have our simple ego that increases all the time and develops. This is what happens to us when we start to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. So the ego that evolves, this period is called the period of concealment. Concealment, single and double concealment. Afterwards, I come to a state where I neutralize this ego and I acquire the attribute of Bina, the attribute of bestowal. That is called the first revelation, or the work of reward and punishment, when I acquire Galgalta Anaim, meaning attributes of bestowal, and then my desire to receive, it is as if erased. I restrict it. It is, so to say, not there. So the same great ego, let's say 100 kilograms of ego, we have now the same 100 kilograms of ego that wakes up within me, but on top of it, I am relating to bestowal, I construct my relation to bestowal. As much as it wakes up, I transcend it, and then again and again. And this is called that I'm constructing the Galgalta Anaim. When I finished constructing the Galgalta Anaim, I get the same amount of 100 kilograms of ego, and now I revive it. But I'm reviving it Why four? With all of its excessive extent, in order to receive pleasures by it, but with the intention of bestowal that I have already. The intention of bestowal, the galgal ta'anaim that I acquired here. So when I have the intention of bestowal, I have the option, the opportunity to receive in order to bestow. Okay? So I'm working in the opposite way. I'm enjoying in order to bestow. Like a child with his mother, if he's wise. A mother wants him to receive, and the mother receives only for him. It can be only if I transcend my own desire, I leave my own deficiencies, I acquire love to the Creator, to the fellow man, let's say, and he reveals me that he wants me to enjoy. So I wake up the desires with which I can enjoy, and then in exchange, I give him pleasure by being pleased. So these are the phases in our work. So now we have the ability to receive all the thought of creation. We increased this body by the way of concealment by ourselves. In the beginning, we have zero desire for spiritual pleasures. We're not speaking about corporal pleasures. Corporal pleasures are so small that with respect to spirituality, we're allowed to use them. By the way, whoever uses the desires of this world, whatever it is, money, respect, knowledge, with regards to spirituality, it's not considered egoistic. It doesn't mean that he's egoist, because that's our beast. Rather, the egoistical desires are the desires when start to wake up, when we want to acquire spirituality. It's with respect to the Creator. Therefore, when we ascend in spiritual levels, so it turns out that we have such a picture. We have this world here, with all its bodily desires and human desires. Sorry, it's hard to understand. Do you see everything in the sketch? Okay, so all of our desires here are not considerable. They are below the spiritual world. The spiritual world starts here. It is holiness, meaning bestowal. And on the other side, we have the shell, meaning reception. So we, when we start to ascend in the spiritual world, we start to receive forces, desires which are very great. For what? For enjoying the Creator, for grabbing from Him, stealing from Him. This is the great ego. And when we overcome these pleasures and we prefer not to receive them, but to transcend them and relate to the Creator, by this we construct, first of all, restriction. We construct the restriction. We don't want these things. This is called the evil inclination. Our desires are not called evil inclination. You're asking what is the desires with respect to the Creator. You don't know what they are yet. You haven't started working with respect to this. In corporality, everything is, we're like beasts. That's it. All the desires you have are like the desires all the other people have. All of this corporeality was given to us in order that we will exist in a way that is detached from the spiritual world. By this, we can start to elevate to the spiritual degree. It is as if I come to spirituality from my own private point. So we have a layer of existence which is called this world, in which we exist without any calculation. It doesn't matter how much you steal, how much you receive, how much whatever you do in this world, you can steal. It doesn't matter anything to spirituality. It's a pity you didn't know that, huh? But it is really so. It is not considerable. All the corrections are with respect to the shells, with respect to the desires that will be revealed towards the Creator. The relation to the Creator. It's not who sleeps more, who eats more, or wants to control. It doesn't matter. So one who starts to elevate in the spiritual world receives desires which are against the Creator. Problems, disturbances, confusions, everything is against the Providence. The evil inclination is against the Providence. That is the evil inclination, which it is against the Providence of the Creator, against good and does good only. And it's not that I'm doing some business with someone here. If I didn't steal from someone, I lose. So that's the first phase. That on top of all the disturbances which are against him, and his name is one, and he's good and does good. Here it is him, and his name is one, or there is none else besides him, and he's good and does good. Counter to this, I am found in a sentence. Do I start to connect myself on top to him on top of all my disturbances? It comes from him, in order that I will connect to him above all the disturbances and tie myself to one origin, to one root source that is good and does good. Let's say I did that on top of all the disturbances that I had, and this way is called two levels of concealment. Concealment of the face. It's concealment. Here we have double concealment and different and single concealment, regular concealment. These are two levels, but they are all concealment. In double concealment, the good and does good and there is none else besides him is concealed. In the regular concealment, good and does good is concealed from me, but there is none else besides him is concealed. If someone doesn't understand, it doesn't matter. It's not relevant to our topic exactly. So, okay. So if we elevated upon all of our desires and we have done the restriction, we have transcended them in order to connect us to there is none else besides him that is good and does good as much as we could, then we come to the next stage where all of our desires are now working in order that we will want to bestow to the Creator. Still we don't have what to bestow, but it is as if I want to be like you on top of everything that is discovered within me. It's not constructing the, it's not restriction doing, it's constructing the Galgal Ta'anayim, meaning to be like you. Here, we build the intention of bestowal. Wants to be bestowing. I'll repeat that. All of the desires that I had, like in the first sketch that I wrote 100 kilos, I have always the same desires, the same soul, it's the same amount. My box is the same box. It only reveals to me more and more. It opens up more and more. And on top of it, I work. The first time I work on top of my desires, when some, let's say, some egoistical desire now hides spirituality from me, I need to transcend it and tie myself to spirituality as much as possible. When I did that, it is called that I'm crossing the barrier. And then there's a stage of revelation. The first revelation, which is called reward and punishment. And then the same desires, the same box, opens up for me, but in a different style. On top of it, I start to determine that I want to be the bestower one, not just to identify him as good and does good, but I want to be the bestower one. I constructed intentions of bestowal. Now, here, I kill my will to receive. It is dead for me. The desire is dead. It happens here especially, in the stage of reward and punishment. So I enter a state of revelation that is double, a second revelation, where the same desires operate and I start to receive in order to bestow in them. That is called the attribute of love. Here is the attribute, before we have the attribute of fear, and later it's called love. Why love? Because I discover that he loves me and he wants me to enjoy, and I'm found above all the restrictions and above all the deficits and above everything, so I'm willing to enjoy, and it will be certainly for you. And that is called the revival of the dead. The right and left are inside here, yes. So once again, we work all the time with the same desires that we have. These desires are within us all the time, right now also, but I don't feel them. Like a child that doesn't feel desires that develops within him. But actually, according to the DNA, according to the drop of seeds from which he grows up, all the desires are there. Only they are as one point, and then they evolve. And we have, it's the same thing with us. Why? Because the soul descended to this world from above. What does it mean that it descended? These desires were diminished more and more and more. They were restricted more and more. And now the same desires are a point in a shrinked way. I don't hear very well. Maybe you'll stand up. Speak louder, please. After one reaches reward and punishment, and he feels that he cannot continue, can he come back to the desires of the body? Come back! It's not worthwhile. Truth is, she is right. Because worthwhile or not is our way of measuring things. We always measure things according if it's worthwhile or not. This is our healthy ego. This is our nature. We should go this way. It means that we go right, that we walk correctly. Now, one that enters phases of double and single concealment, until he crosses the barrier, the corporal pleasures can still affect him, because he's in a concealment and all kinds of disturbances can operate upon him and he will not overcome them. So it is as if he falls by them and leaves the process for some time. It can be a week, a month, or a whole incarnation or two. It's sure that he'll come back, though, because this process is nothing you can run away from. And the system doesn't work on one person. The system includes many details and many things. One man can be mistaken, can leave the process, and then it causes something else in a different part of the body. It's like in our body. I, for example, had a problem, a sabotage in my liver, so other things in my body functions differently now. Oh, if a person is found in a group, this is the only thing that can help him, yeah. Because then he creates such support around him that will not make him let him run away. He constructs a mini spiritual world for him, system of forces that will help him. Without the group, it's very hard. But the group can be virtual, a virtual group. We have many students all over the world. For example, in Australia, in Turkey, in many places. Not in Israel, even. I'm not talking about it already. Today we're handing out the newspaper, so a lot of people in Israel are taking part in that. They're with us already. So in spirituality, it's connection. They receive forces from it. So sorry, it's hard to hear. The question is about the phases of how to justify the Creator. How can you justify the Creator? You receive beatings and you're saying, I justify you. Justification is an outcome of correction. Justification is your sensation, the determination of the true state, that you really justify him. How could it be that you receive a beating and you justify it? There's no such thing. It's not like in this world, you know, when you're you need to discover him. There's no choice. You need to discover him and his relation to you and your relationship in such a way that you will see that the beating that rises within you is because you come closer, and then it's worthwhile for you to be closer. If you appreciate the closeness more than the beating, so you as if cover the beating with this outcome of becoming more close, and you're saying, yeah, it's better, and you don't even feel the beating. You don't feel it. It's just like one that runs 100 meters for a box with $1 million, right? So you'll run for 100 meters in order to grab this box, right? So the 100 meters will not look to you as something difficult to run. So the goal covers for the exertion. Well, in the meanwhile, we can perceive this only egoistically, but we will speak in such terms that we understand. So, still, what do we the gain by this. We discover all the delight in the thought of creation because we have the excessive will to receive, which we so finally can use. That is called body. It's not the body that we see here. It's not the flesh that we speak about, because this animal is not considerable in spirituality. It's not considered existent or not. We're talking about desires that are excessive, and they are called body. And because receiving the pleasures in such a way will not be other than for the sake of bestowal, meaning I have many desires and I use it only in the way that I'm sure, that I'm certain that I will receive in order to please Him. It's not that the shame, that the busha, the embarrassment, prevents me from receiving. I can receive everything that is near me, but I'm doing the calculation. On your behalf, you're telling me, take it all. You're enjoying whatever I'll take. You don't have any calculation with me. I have a calculation with you. I want to be the cause, the one who causes the pleasure, not just to receive. On your behalf, it doesn't matter. You're telling me you can receive it all, you can receive it all, you can receive everything. And on your behalf, I'm bringing you pleasure anyway. It doesn't matter if I have an intention for you or I don't have an intention to receive because of you. But I want to be similar to you, meaning I don't respect the pleasures and not even your relation to me. Rather, I want to be present in this bestowal. Well, the words here are very weak. So that kind of reception is actually complete bestowal, because we have there the equivalence of form as well, which is the adhesion. And that happens in the third state, and it means that now it's the revival of the dead that was planned to begin with. So here we talk about a phase where we are in the total attribute of the Creator, total adhesion, and we have total eternity, these things that are not changing, rather you can only ascend. And that is the double gain that we have by correcting the soul.
תיקון, גמר התיקון זה המצב הסופי, מצב הגימל, ותחיית המתים לפניו, שכל הרצון נקבל, אנחנו שוב מחיים אותו, והוא כבר עובד אצלנו בעל מנת להשפיע. אלה קרוב לגמר התיקון, דהיינו בסופה של מציאות הבית. בכל זאת שיהיה כאן. כי אחר שזכינו לשלול את הרצון לקבל המופרס שבאנו, איפה אנחנו שוללים אותו? כאן, כן? שמי הקילו האלו שמתוררים, אנחנו לא רוצים להשתמש בהם, אלה רק כוונה די להשפיע, אנחנו רוצים לרחוש, וקיבלנו את הרצון אף להשפיע, כן? בשכר ועונש, אחר שזכינו לכל המדרגות הנפלאות שבנפש, המכונה נפש
רוח, the will to bestow, in all the levels that are called נפש רוח נשמה חיה יחידה, by neutralizing this will to receive, so now we have the greatest wholeness. What does it mean? It means that until we can revive these desires, we learn this way, that we have a soul, which is called that is called the body, and inside we call it soul or light. But body means desires. So after we neutralized it, we then use it once again, we revive our body once again with all of its excessive will to receive, and we are not damaged by it. Rather, it's opposite. We become like the Creator. We reach adhesion by it.
ואדרבה, אנו מתגברים עליו, על הרצון הזה, ואנו נותנים לו צורת השפעה.
So the opposite, we overcome this desire and we give it a form of bestowal. Because we are moving the measure of evil from us, first we have to take it off ourselves until the final thing. Let's say I'm not allowed to eat something, so I must leave it totally, even lose the taste of it, and afterwards, when I have the control already, then I can a bit by bit start to enjoy. Right? Right or not? No. Okay, I understand. But here we speak about the screen that one acquires when he has it, and it's not like us. So one has to come to a state where there is nothing left from the desire, and then it's possible to be in the middle line. And as long as we didn't remove all of it from ourselves, we cannot be in the middle, in the middle line. Meaning there must be a period where the excessive will to receive is discovered within us, and we transcend it, we restrict it, we acquire on top of it the intentions of bestowal, and later we work with it once again after the restriction. Meaning here, in Galgalta Anaim that we correct, in bestowal, here we do the restriction. It is like the first restriction. So then we use the excessive will to receive, and afterwards we use the excessive will to receive, but in the middle we leave it, we come out of it. So therefore, in the excessive will to receive that we discover here in the beginning, by this we are called evil, villains, or wicked. And afterwards, there we are already called righteous. So the difference between righteous and villain is using the will to receive with a different intention. But if you see a righteous, you maybe think that the righteous is evil, and vice versa, because you don't know intentions. Therefore, the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the concealed wisdom, or the wisdom of the concealed, because you don't know, you don't see the intentions of a person. But usually we think about evils, the evil ones, that they are righteous. Questions, please. What does it mean that Elijah ascended to heaven? This is what she asked. Did you hear about Ramchal? He was a very great Kabbalist, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Lutzato. He suffered very much because of the Jews. They wanted to bury him, burn him. They threw him. He lived in a place called Padua in Italy, the north of Italy. They threw him out of his city in Shabbat evening, before Shabbat came, before it was Shabbat. And if you're thrown from the community, all of the non-Jews in that time were beating you up. So what was the reason? The reason was that he was a good Jew. He was a very great Kabbalist, and he was for the dissemination of the wisdom of Kabbalah. He wrote wonderful books, and he wrote a very nice article about the third temple. He was in a spiritual degree where he discovered the third temple, the orders of the forces there, and he made a sketch of it, and he told exactly how it should be in our world as the forces that cascade down to matter. It's very special. I learned with Rabash his book called Great in the Skies. It's an interpretation of Safra Detzniuta, a section of the Zohar. It's something that is very hard. And so what did I want to say? What did I speak about the Ramchal? Oh, you said something about Elijah. Okay, so people think that he wrote a book that is for beginners, which is called Path of the Creator. This is what we learn. All the sketches we do here are the Path of the Creator. So he wrote this book, and he divides it into 10 parts. It's 10 sefirot, how the man ascends. And he gives a name for each and every stage of the ascent. And one of the stages is called prophecy. It's a level of prophecy. And when does one reach the level that is called prophecy? There are all kinds of levels, like being a righteous, being a villain. These are all kinds of levels until one reaches the level of the Creator. And one who attains the level of prophecy is a man that corrected himself in all of his desires, and he's in equality, total equality to the Creator. So what do you ask about Elijah the prophet? I don't know. You're talking about the egoistical desires of Elijah, the prophet? How could it be that a prophet has egoistical desires? Oh, what does it mean that he went up to the skies? It means that with his attribute of Malchut, he came to the attribute of the Bina. No, there are people who say that this is the corporal body. No, what corporal body? Come on, lady. Excuse me, forgive me. We are here in the wisdom of truth, not in the wisdom of lie. You know that Kabbalah is called the wisdom of truth, right? So, that's it. Stop thinking about the body of the human being and whatever is found inside the body. They say that Elijah was buried or not. What is there near Haifa? Okay, all of these nice tales that the common people describe in the way that they can describe, it's not acceptable for us. We are following the wisdom of truth, the wisdom of Kabbalah, that in which we relate only to desires, only to the internality of the person, and not to our body. Our body is beastly. What is there in the flesh that you should elevate to the skies? I don't understand what is the skies you talk about. What? To put it on a rocket? What? What does it mean to elevate the body? I bring it 100 kilometers up, and then what? I don't see people who were in space 100 kilometers above us who became angels, right? So, no, it's because one man told me that the verse speaks about the body, the flesh. No, this is how the common people think, that we're talking about the flesh. And in fact, if we will start to cut the body, and we will make all kinds of transplants in the body, so it will not be already the body of Elijah, right? Let's say that we take Elijah the prophet, his body, corporal body, and we cut it, and we take organs from, and we transplant it in Elijah's body. It's allowed according to halakha, to the kosher laws, right? Let's say you come to hospital, and you are injected with blood, with an amount of blood that came from someone that is a witch, okay? That's someone that is very evil. And this is allowed according to Judaism, right? So how could there be such a thing? So what will happen to you if you will have blood from a different body? Or another example, let's say, God forbid, I have a problem with my heart and I'm in surgery. And then they transplant my heart. They put a new heart in me. And the heart is now, the heart was now changed. So now I can be teaching you, and I didn't tell you that I replaced my heart. So what, do you think that I'll forget everything? So today it sounds like nonsense, right? But if you, we were speaking 50 years ago, so today we develop a bit more and we agree to this wisdom a bit more. So we are not speaking about nothing that involves the human body, but rather body here means desires. Elijah went up to the skies. It means that all of his desire to receive, all of his malchut, was brought to the level of bestowal, to the level of bina. And then his student wanted to be like him and yelled, "Where are you going, Elijah?" We're talking about connection between the souls, Galgal Ta'anayim and the Chab. We have to read the true books and not the tales that you heard. And reward and punishment, it's also, it's words that we do the same way you describe reward, you describe punishment. Of course, it is reward. It's an action that comes from the Creator, and there can't be anything else that causes it. But that's it. It's a correction. With God's help, lady, you will receive the light that reforms from above, and you look like you expect it, huh? You don't know, maybe it'll be worse. And later you will come to the level of the Elijah the prophet. Each one needs to come to the level of Moses. This is the greatest level there is, and each one should come to it. So, you have big aspirations. Yes. If you started clarifying the topic, so what is the meaning of saying that Elijah the prophet? Elijah the prophet is a spiritual level that is called so. There are 125 levels of the spiritual world, and we have names for each and every level. Why do we say Chesed, Gvurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut? Why do we call it Avraham, Yitzchak, Moshe, Yaakov, Yosef, David? Each level has a name. Why? Because it's typical to the same soul that represents this spiritual level. And the same thing with the level of Elijah, and more names and terms which we don't understand and know. That's all. So, until Elijah will come, and the verse that says, "I'm sending Elijah to you," all of these things is different. We will learn everything. Don't worry. Leave something for later. Otherwise, you will not come here, right? So the greatest level is the level of Moses. Moses attained all the 125 degrees, and he came to the level of 120. 120 is the whole package of Partsufim of Bia. All the 12 Partsufim there. To learn the figure of Moses, or to learn the wisdom of Kabbalah, is the same thing. Because this is what he discovered through his soul, through his correction. It's the same thing. And after all the corrections, he came to this. Yes. Okay. So it's not 120 years, right? You want to live 120 years? Depends how. Where did you see that righteous live more? Where did you see that righteous live more? How are the corporal years, number of years, belong to the correction of the soul? Maybe he lived more easily. Maybe he didn't make an effort. Oh boy, you think that when you enter spirituality, you fly and you float in the air. There was a commercial, you know. How was that drink called? Red Bull, yeah. Red Bull gives you wings. Okay. Okay, so where are we? Item 28. You want to ask a question? Okay, so that will conclude our lesson. What happens in the world, in the level of reward and punishment? Maybe we will start to learn something from the preface to Talmud of Ten Sfirot, but I explain it in morning lessons. You can search the archive in the website and take these lessons. And I think we didn't learn reward and punishment yet. So maybe you can be with us together. It's the third hour of the lesson. It's pretty comfortable. It's from 5 to 6. Besides Friday. In Fridays we have a group of newcomers. But in Fridays all the group that is learning with me is not the group that learns in the other days from Sunday to Thursday. Why only men studying? Because it's not for women. Women need only to bestow. Kabbalah is for the men. No. But that is why we have we learn preface to Talmud of Ten Sfirot, where we learn only about this path. Where do we climb and how? All the preface it talks only about this. And it's not Baal HaSulam's preface, it's actually the preface that was written by Chaim Vital, that wrote it according to Etz Chaim, Tree of Life, and whatever he heard from the Ari. And Baal HaSulam only processed it closer to us. I'm about to come with a new book about this preface. Is the stony heart called Pharaoh? It's the stony heart. The Egyptians are the corrupted desires. The Jews are corrupted desires, but they, so to say, make the effort to, as a result of the breaking of the vessels, our vessels are mixed. There are vessels of bestowal, vessels of reception, and vessels of reception inside vessels of bestowal, and vessels of bestowal inside vessels of reception. And all of this, in all of this issue here, we have the Pharaoh and the Jews and the Egyptians and Moses. In the chronological order of the Torah, what do you ask about it? Poro appears each time after every beating. It is as if because he rises after each beating. You have 10 beatings, of course. Each and every beating in itself is a new sickness, a new relation, as if nothing happened before. The paro renews. It's a man. And the man as if didn't have anything before. I did something. I received a beating. I regretted it so much. And once again, I have a new desire. And where is the man? I see that people here agree with me, huh? Until we go through the 10 beatings. Now, I wish that we were, let's all wish that we go through only 10 beatings. But it's only called 10. In each and every level, there is the same stony heart. In each and every tiniest step of a person, there is the stony heart, which he clarifies unaware or aware. You read the newspaper? You just got it now? Right. I want to hear some reviews. Maybe you have something to add or to correct, or what do you hear on the street about it? I need some more feedback from, because we want to make it more and more close and understood and pleasant. This newspaper will be in the USA in Yediot Ahronot. It's in Canada, United States, and Mexico. It's 50,000 copies. In Israel, we are about to publish it as an insert inside Yediot Ahronot. It is the best thing, but there are people who don't read Yediot Ahronot, yeah? Yeah, but in the market in Petah Tikva, you think it doesn't cost money? Of course it costs money. To put the newspaper in Yediot Ahronot costs tons of money, but we have more things to do, you know, besides handing out the papers on the streets. We have a lot of work, we have a lot of other work to do besides that. We have the Hebrew paper that goes abroad in several variations. For us, for America and for Russia, we have an English newspaper which is disseminated in the American journalism and by dissemination of our groups in America. And we have now one in Spanish. And there will be some more versions. So we create this information, the content, but we don't have the forces to do the dissemination as well. And therefore, it looks like we will switch to inserts, that it will be inside other newspapers. Don't you buy any newspaper? Yediot Ahronot? Any newspaper, huh? What will you do? You'll take the newspaper from here. Okay. There are a lot of people who don't buy Yediot Ahronot? Tell me. It is called the newspaper of the country, I don't know. Yeah, I'm talking about the weekend, not about the daily. So it's a problem. I see that we won't cover all the nation this way, huh?
No,
We hand out 250,000 newspapers. Why don't we do it in Ma'ariv? Ma'ariv is not a strong newspaper. Because the other one is better, and this is the not so popular. No, I'm not allowed to put it inside. No. It is, if they don't allow, of course I can't do it. It's illegal and it's... Well, we'll think how to do it. I thought that everyone have this newspaper because 700,000 newspapers, no? They have. 5.5 million? Okay, take out a quarter of kids, children, take out other people. Okay, we'll see. Maybe we'll stay in the Petah Tikva marketplace. Okay, thank you. And wait a minute. Next week we don't have a lesson. Wait a minute. This is a book called The Wisdom of Kabbalah by Baal Sulam. It came out of print today and came here especially. It's still hot. Here you have all the main articles of Baal Sulam. Well, in short, these that are important for our internal work. You don't read Hebrew? Russian. It's written very easy because there is a little article of Baal Sulam and then my explanation, and I don't speak high Hebrew. I have a problem with languages. For example, in English, I have a total clog. I'm seriously. It was very hard for me to pass my PhD exam. So what I want to say is, in bold, there's Baal Sulam, and below there's the explanation. It'll help you to enter all of this method of his. Here you have original articles of Baal Sulam. Here are his articles with my explanation. So it's very effective. This is an explanation for the Kabbalah for beginners. Yes. So please try it.